Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number three. I'm Jim Galante, along with Dustin Hockensmith. We're talking Penn State football, and specifically Penn State football in the draft. Dustin, the first two segments, we talked about the individual players for Penn State that went in the draft. Now, this segment, I want to talk a little more instead of the specific players, but overall. Well, first of all, let me start with this. Do you consider this a successful draft for the Penn State football program?
Yeah, I do. I mean, anytime you can have a couple first-round picks, I think that immediately goes into the success category. I think you would love to see maybe a little bit more depth and more guys vying for higher positions in the draft. But I think, you know, some of Penn State's, you know, good players, guys who have made some really good contributions to the program, all happen to fall and go bang, bang, bang in the seventh round. But with Micah Parsons and Jason Elway, I definitely consider that a success.
And when you're talking about those two players, particularly Jason Elway and Micah Parsons, you've got to talk about their pro day and what they accomplished there. There's no other way to describe those two guys than as freaks. Freak athletes. The numbers they came away with were just phenomenal. Had to impress every NFL scout. The question becomes, not only what effect does that have on the draft, and I think it does for that individual player. I think that's how Jason Elway got drafted in the first round. But what does this say about the Penn State program, and does it help it going forward?
Yeah, and I think this is a really interesting thing. I mean, to say whether having an NFL presence in a situation like this, having a first-round presence, it has to help you in recruiting. But I think you've seen Penn State for, I don't know, 3 or 4 years really have a similar impact, like at the Combine with Mike Gesicki and Troy Apke and Saquon Barkley, you know, with these guys with their pro days. I mean, it backs up James Franklin's talking point that Penn State not only tries to prepare you for life and graduation. I think there's a lot of evidence to back up those things. We don't have to get into that. But when he says that Penn State prepares you for the NFL too, I think it's indisputable. You know, I think to show again, like with Micah Parsons, for example, that you can take a five-star player, you can take a kid who had maybe some red flags or however you want to put it, concerns about him as a high school player, and to have him on the straight and narrow and to get him through school in 3 years and graduate, make him a first round pick. You know, I think that's a really good talking point for James Franklin to walk into somebody's living room and say, hey, look what we did with Micah Parsons. This is what everybody was saying about this kid, and this is what we ended up doing with him. You see where he's at. He's going to be a star for the Dallas Cowboys, and nobody really knew for sure if this kid was going to even stay in school for 3 years. So now he's got his degree, and he's playing in the NFL. This is what we can do. I think it's a strong talking point that is made stronger by these two examples. You know, and Jason Owens way too. Like, he was coming out of New Jersey, he was raw, but you see what we were able to develop him into in the weight room, which just adds yet another, you know, another feather in Dwight Gault's cap. They have proven that time and again. So I mean, it's good. I just don't know, like, what tangible impact has Penn State's increased presence in the NFL, what has that really done from a recruiting standpoint? You haven't seen a huge leap or anything like that, but it can't hurt, I guess.
What I find interesting is there seems to be positional value to this, Dustin. A Saquon Barkley, who's a once-in-a-generation type of talent, all of a sudden you get some great recruiting at running back. You had Mike Gesicki at tight end, and then now several players, you know, you go through Pat Freiermuth, and we see the talent on the current roster. You could almost see pointing at a specific position and saying, look, you see it this year with, is it Caden Saunders from Ohio, that everyone points at him and says, hey, you remind me of KJ Hamler. How much of that is a factor at individual positions, Dusty?
I think it helps if you start to develop a reputation at a certain position. I don't know if really linebacker had been one of them really before Micah Parsons goes in the first round, but now, you know, I think you have Brandon Smith who's got a shot. You've got Curtis Jacobs, obviously is projecting a lot with him, but he's got a shot. You know, I think it can start carving out that reputation again. If Journey Brown didn't have to retire, their running back reputation would have been pristine also. You'd like to see them develop a quarterback reputation, but that's probably a different story for a different day. But at wide receiver, I think that's an interesting one. The KJ Hamler, like, weekend. KJ Hamler was not a sure thing either, but we helped him unleash his speed. And Caden Saunders, we can do the same thing for you. So I think it helps the more positions that you have some kind of reputation, it helps you get the next one because you can say, you remind me of him and look what he did.
Now that's as opposed to you get Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, where the reputations are so good, it's college football playoffs, it's NFL. If you're not one of those teams, you've got to do what it seems like position by position. And Penn State seems to have created a, I'm saying unique, I don't know what other schools have this kind of reputation, but they send these players to the combine, and all of a sudden it's, oh my goodness, look what Troy Apke is doing. So there's that also. It's not necessarily that they were a superstar on the field, but it's they're a superstar at the combine.
Yeah, and it's an interest. Like Troy Apke is an interesting thing. Not that he didn't have a solid Penn State career or anything, but it's interesting for James Franklin to kind of give that talking point. Like, yeah, we didn't get like Troy Apke's best football was ahead of him. We didn't get the most out of him, but we did prepare him for the NFL. You know, we did, and I think Apke's as good an example as Penn State has of a guy. You know, not having a pristine reputation, not being a standout recruit necessarily, but look where he came from and look where he was when he left the program. You know, this is a guy who made a name for himself with combine drills. And like, you know, we have a billion examples of players who have gotten so much better physically. Like we can identify what your strengths are as a player, and we can build you into those areas. You know, Penn State has done a really good job of that because it does require a sound evaluation, a sound assessment, and then a good connection between James Franklin and the strength and conditioning staff to say, this is what we believe that player is. Now let's build him into that. And Troy Apke is a really good example of that. He's as good a pitch as you can make on the recruiting front as anybody.
Is this a bit of a golden era for Penn State football players in the NFL, where several of the players are even playing beyond their expectations? When you look at, you know, Saquon's a given, but people like Chris Godwin, or I think Allen Robinson, look at Donovan Smith, and then there's just many other talented players, Sanders, KJ Hamler, Ettore Gross-Matos, Deshaun Hamilton. That's a lot of guys. That's a lot of NFL talent.
And you look at some guys on that list who couldn't have ever really been called sure things. You know, Chris Godwin was a good prospect coming out of Delaware. I don't think you really looked at him, even as he was doing a really good job at Penn State, I don't think you really looked at him as a freak elite athlete, you know, as an NFL caliber athlete. And what they did with him is that he was a big surprise running at the combine. Miles Sanders was a former five-star. Mike Gesicki was a long road to get him to where he was, to where he got to before he was drafted by the Dolphins. KJ Hamler had an injury issue and was undersized, and for him to go where he did is a feather in Penn State's cap. Deshaun Hamilton was another one, a really pleasant surprise with the way that he tested, because nobody really viewed him as anything close to an elite athlete. A really productive guy at Penn State, former three-star recruit. They built him into a guy who was a legitimate NFL prospect, where I don't think you could have said that at all when he was coming out of high school. Same with Troy Apke. You know, I think there's all these different stories. Carl Nassib is another one. Adrian Amos was not anything close to a sure thing. Now he's one of the best two-way safeties in the league. There's a lot of success stories. You haven't seen a ton of high-profile, like, first-round guys under James Franklin. But you've seen a ton of players play their best football at the next level. And I think there's something to be said for that. Whether that's a golden era or not, there is a lot of good young star power from Penn State doing their thing in the NFL. And there's as much as I've seen making real star caliber contributions at the NFL in my lifetime. I think there were other more golden areas when it came to the draft, but Penn State's, you know, their fingerprints are all over the league right now.
You and I were talking off the air about this idea of golden era, and this is probably as good as it's been in how long for Penn Staters in the NFL. As an old timer, I went back and looked at, we all loved that 94 undefeated team. Interesting fact, out of that 94 team, in the two drafts following that, Penn State had 12 offensive players drafted, including 5 running backs and 4 offensive linemen. And off, and in the 1 year in the 95 draft, they had 3 players, Kajana Carter, Kerry Collins, and Kyle Brady, all 3 taken in the top 10. So that, if you want a truly golden era, that was probably it. Dustin, now that I've brought up, dredged up the past, we talked about the present, let's take a quick glance forward. What does Penn State have to look forward to with their players going in the 2022 draft?
I think you're going to see a little bit more of the same. I think you're going to see more guys who are contenders for like the second and third round, and not that many guys as contenders for the first round in 2022. I think there are some other players who will be interesting beyond 2022, but Rashid Walker is a good bet to go late in the first round. If he has a big year this fall, I think you're going to see him. Physical tools are all there. Experience is going to be there. I think the film is going to be good to him. He is a very, very strong candidate to go in the first. But after him, I don't know if Penn State's got a first-round guy in their lineup. I think Jahan Dotson probably is like a second-round type player. Having a guy like Devontae Smith, who had big questions, who weighed in at 166 pounds, obviously his production was off the charts, and he won the Heisman Trophy and all that. But it helps a guy like Jahan Dotson. If Devontae Smith has a nice career, has a nice rookie season, it helps eliminate some of those concerns for Jahan Dotson. Jaquan Brisker, I think, can play himself into that second and third round mix. I don't think we'll see Brandon Smith leave, but he's another guy who's got a bright future. Caden Wallace, a bright future, has potential to build into a first round caliber guy. There's a lot of really strong talent on Penn State's roster that you'll see come through in 22 and beyond.
I tell you, I didn't mention this to you off the air, Dustin. I saw just this morning someone's mock draft for next year, the way too early. They actually had Rashid Walker in the top 10. Something to think about. Again, it's a position of value. That's it for quarter number 3. Stick around. We got more to get through in quarter number 4.
In a world of over 100 hard seltzers swimming in a sea of sameness and mediocrity, a hero emerges. Introducing Seagram's Hard Seltzer, the greatest of all time. So go ahead, awaken your taste buds and bring the thrill back to bubbles with fruit-infused flavor combinations that are refreshingly new and deliciously different. Seagram's Hard Seltzer. Kick it with the goat.
Flavored malt beverages. Enjoy responsibly. The Seagram Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.